Number six, and this is where the presentation, right?
Yes, sir.
Correct. All right.
From the Director, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report providing an update on the courthouse fire recovery. At our October meeting, a follow-up report was requested. This item is also going to be considered by the Finance, Audit, and Personnel Committee.
Ms. Walzak, Mr. Tyler, and
Mr. Dietcher.
Who?
Dennis Dietcher.
Dietcher?
Yes.
Mr. Dietcher. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. I'm going to spend about a minute just giving you a quick update, and then Dennis Dietcher and Gary Wozek are going to give you a little bit of a show and tell, since there's not a whole lot for updating, but we thought we'd give you a good kind of visual representation of the work that's going on downstairs. So when you hear the banging that's going on, you can kind of get a sense as to why we're doing that.
Not doing a board day anymore, okay?
We hope not to have that happen again.
All right.
But, Mr. Chair and Supervisors, what I wanted to do is just let you know, just give you a little bit of an update as it relates to cause and origin. And I think last time we met, we had mentioned that that investigation was in progress, and it is continuing. However, there's a few changes that I'd like to just bring up. We were advised Monday by the local government property insurance fund that it was they've decided not to pursue any subrogation claims against any county subcontractors, vendors, or other third parties. However, the fund's excess insurer, which is kind of the reinsurer, Lexington, will continue, in fact, to investigate for possible subrogation claims. So we still have a subrogation investigation going on, but the fund is stepping away from that investigation, and Lexington is going to continue on with that process. So they're going to take the lead on the investigation. As a result of that, this is going to delay the timing of that process. We had originally scheduled a kind of a second kickoff on December 7th, but that has been delayed. Importantly, it will not delay the timing. We don't expect it to delay the timing of any kind of work that's being done downstairs, and the time frame that we've kind of framed out with you previously in terms of getting permanent power back on. But the investigation is delayed a little bit because Lexington is taking that over. It's important also to note that the fund will continue to investigate the actual cause of the fire. In connection with Lexington, will provide us with a report when that's done. And regardless of Lexington's findings, the fund advises us that we can expect to continue to have the fund pay our claims. In other words, any disputes between Lexington and the fund will not affect the county's compensation from the fund. So bottom line is that we continue to get a good indication from the fund that they will continue to reimburse us on any claims related to the fire damage. With that note, I want to pass the baton to Dennis and Gary, who've been taking the lead role. For those of you who may not know Dennis, I think you do, but he heads up on an interim basis our risk management area and has done just a yeoman's job in spearheading all of the issues related to the courthouse around this event. And Gary obviously heads up facilities on an interim basis. Thank you.
Mr. Tyler,
yeah.
Come back. Sir, this is going to like have a question for you.
I mean, I just want to make sure before we move on, are we moving on? Are we going away from the investigation now? Now we're going to talk about how we're fixing everything?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, that's correct. I mean, we certainly can answer any questions at the end of the presentation, if you like, or even on an ongoing basis.
Okay.
No, no, this item's up front. Everybody can have an opportunity to talk.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave.
I'm not going to talk out.
All right.
Mr. Wozniak, you ready?
Chairman, if you don't mind, I'm going to have Dennis add a couple. While I don't drive this thing every day, I want to get your TV on here for you.
Oh, okay. Go right ahead.
Chairman and Supervisors, Dennis Dietcher, Interim Director for Risk Management. And I'd also like at this time to thank Mr. Tyler for all of the support that he has given to our team. The team, you know, is sometimes only as good as its leader, and he has been an excellent leader throughout this process. And so we have done some very significant things up to this point, and now things are beginning to process even faster. For instance, if you look out the windows onto 10th Street, you're going to see where there's some work being done to dig a rather large hole. That is to replace the duct bank that's in the street. The duct bank guides the electrical power from We Energies into our building. And in order to do that, We Energies has brought in their contractor to dig up the street because that duct bank, that concrete encased duct bank, is damaged. It needs to be replaced prior to this process internally in our building being completed. And the other things that we have done up to this point, there has been an extreme amount of engineering and design purchasing of equipment that was required to be done in a very short amount of time. And after if we ordered the stuff, you know, it's a matter of time to get that. So now we have actually received the switchgear, and we have opened up the vault cover that leads to our basement area where the electrical equipment is going to be. The vault cover is actually within the tunnel that used to lead to the old annex building that is still there. When you go downstairs in our current annex building, there's a tunnel that leads to the courthouse, and about halfway through that in the ceiling is a large concrete cover that was taken out. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Gary here, because he can pictorially show you what I'm talking about.
Chairman, supervisors, this first slide is an old one. This is from when we were running on purely generator power from 10th Street, so this is from more of the summer period. But that maze of cables is just an indicator of the complexity of what was in place to provide temporary power. We've moved a long way since that period right there. That generator in the back looks like a semi. That is still in place. There's a 2-meg generator that's still on site as a backup. Fortunately, we have not had to utilize it. That is a current shot of the backup generator. We had 4 of those on site that were powering the complex. This is the beginning of the excavation for the duct pack repairs that Dennis had mentioned. It basically, We Energies needs to shore up their infrastructure before we tie into the infrastructure being installed in the basement. This is the tunnel area, which I'm sure you're familiar with. This is looking towards going out towards the annex with the ceiling tiles still removed. Up in the ceiling is where there is at this point it was a repaired access cutout from the original installation of our electrical equipment. And what we were able to do is utilize that old patch right there, and you see that existed for some time. That was reopened. I'm sorry, I keep popping ahead. That was reopened to allow access in and out for the old stuff going out, new stuff coming in. That shot there is from the 10th Street door looking down towards the crosswalk where you come across from the annex, and that structure of plywood there is the temporary cover over the open hole. So that's one of the many reasons why 10th Street, for a number of reasons, is still inaccessible. That's a shot from across the crosswalk, so you'd be walking right towards the opening, and at any time we may be having equipment going in or out through that opening. You see there, they were dropping some hardware and some other equipment going in. To the right on the trailer is one of the switch gear that are now sitting in the basement. I'll have some photos of those. And obviously that's a pretty sizable crane to lift up those switch gear. In the basement, where all the new equipment is going, this is not where the current equipment is. This was the fitter's shop, the HVAC and steam fitters, heating control. their shop, when we moved from the annex, and they occupied since 2005 or 6, whenever that annex project occurred. Their old shop is where the equipment used to be before it was replaced. So, you know, maybe original construction or a short time after. This is where all the electrical equipment was. So this presented a space that was very convenient, did not need to be constructed or engineered. It already existed. So we, so to speak, evicted our heating crew and relocated them, and this is where the new equipment's going to be. The copper cabling on the ground is the grounding grid that will exist under the concrete once it's poured. They installed the iron reinforcement before concrete was poured and started forming the back there. Late last week, they poured the concrete. They finished that day. That was a shot this Monday. So they had cured over the weekend. Also, within the last week, the switchgear, which I had a side shot out before those, that's just 4 switchgear out of 18, were delivered. We now have approximately 10 or 12 that are in the basement. This is the first load that had not yet been taken in. This is the same switchgear staged in the tunnel that you'd be exiting if you were leaving towards the annex. They are gone now. However, there's going to be a substantial staging of equipment and moving of equipment in and out throughout that same tunnel. This is rigging for when the switchgear, as you see on the bottom, was brought in. They come in and are laid down on their side so that we can maneuver them into the room on rollers. And then obviously you need some significant rigging to upright that equipment and place it on the pad. That was the first setting of the first switchgear. What will eventually happen is it'll be a series of cabinets side by side where all the new switchgear will exist. That's just the second one going in as they start to move around. And we're back to the beginning.
All right. Thank you. Anything else?
Chairman, supervisors, not for me unless you have any questions.
And Mr. Wozniak also said if you would like to take a tour, he would take you, give you a tour also. He extend that to the committee. Supervisor Liskin, did you have another comment for Mr. Tyler?
Yeah, well, I guess I wanted to, it's good. It's good the position we're in terms of the insurer telling us that we're covered and that whatever their disputes are with the reinsurer or whatever the reinsurer is doing isn't going to affect our being paid. But I'm trying to understand, after 5 months, what do we know? We keep getting these sort of one or two sentence cause and origin things. I have to assume that we know something after 5 months, and you know, we have our own inspector who's been part of that, at least the last half of that, I believe. So, you know, was there the local government group isn't going after the equipment makers or our subcontractors, but someone else might be. But on what basis? And what do we know in terms of what's been narrowed down or what's been excluded? I mean, I'm assuming something's been ruled out or some things have been ruled out. Can we get any information?
Tyler?
Mr. Chair and supervisors, Dennis may be able to amplify, but I think, we're eager to get clarity as well. We certainly can't speak for the reinsurer or the fund, I wish I could do better, but there's been nothing that has been identified as far as I know, and maybe Dennis can amplify on that, but there's a possibility that we will never know. I think you've seen pictures of that area down there, and there's just really not much there left to investigate. So certainly can't speak for the fund or the reinsurer, but we have not, I can assure you this, that we have not received any information, to my knowledge, and Dennis can confirm or amplify, we have not received anything from the investigators that would be suggestive relative to the cause of the fire. And Dennis, is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, Don, you know, is spot on. The thing is that that the cause and origin investigation is being performed by cause and origin specialists, and the process that they are going through. First, they had to determine the extent of any hazardous materials within the cabinetry down there before they can pop things open, before they can get hands on, before they can test things. And so a lot of time has been taken to develop the protocol to be able to do that, and then to actually perform the test. So from a cause and origin perspective, it's a very slow-moving process. The last time they were here, it was to do that. It was to they had their protocol in place. They opened up the doors. They took samples of the charred material, of which, you know, on the bottom of the cabinets there is an amount of material that was burned up. So you have to test that to determine what the hazards are before you can start doing things, looking for things like asbestos, looking for things like lead, other heavy metals. And so we are just now at the process where we're still waiting for the results from all of those tests. And so in this process, at this point, the fund has just indicated to us that, you know, their intent is not to continue to pursue subrogation, that it will be Lexington that continues from this point on. And so things would be very, very speculative at this point if we were to try and say, hey, we think it's this, we think it's that. You know, we know that all of our switchgear was affected tremendously across the board. And so, you know, that may lead the cause and origin people to come up with, you know, an answer or a result. But honestly, we can only speculate at this time. This is heavy-duty electrical stuff, and it's not as cut and dry. The problem also was that because of the extreme amount of power, 13,200 volts, it does a lot of damage, and the things there for evidence that you would like to go and look at and test are gone. You know, they got burned up. The insulators that are formed with tremendous heat are gone. They got burned up, so there was that much heat involved. So it's not going to be, you know, necessarily a cut and dry result from this, simply because they don't have all of the pieces to be able to test, to be able to see what failed. And that's what some of the problems are with cause and origin.
I guess my frustration, Mr. Chairman, is that we don't seem to be given the clearest answers. So, you know, in terms of what is our investigator telling us that he's seeing, or what did the local government group say when they said they're not going to pursue it? Did they say that's because the claim is so large that they know that it's going on to their reinsurer now anyway, and that it's just logical that they're going to pursue it? Or did they say it's because it's so burned up that they just don't think that it's going to reveal anything? I mean, there had to be a judgment made for them to make that decision. And so it seems that whatever information was available to them to make such a decision also is available to our investigator to be able to inform us about what information the process has revealed so far and what conclusions you can draw. Like, for instance, what you're sort of saying, it's so burned up, it's unlikely. That's how I'm interpreting it, that it's unlikely to reveal a specific cause. Did we hear that? So I guess I'm I don't know why I have to keep asking it that way, but I mean, I don't know if you're not telling me or they haven't told you or you haven't asked. I mean, it's unbelievable how much I feel like I have to pull that out. I mean, it's like the fourth time we've been in a committee, at least that I've been in, talking about this. All you ever want to talk about is how we're fixing it. If you really don't have the answers, fine, but I just want you to be definitive about that, that you know nothing, they've told you nothing, you've asked and they don't know.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, we are trying to be as forthright as we possibly can be. There's nothing more that I know of to be able to communicate to you. I can tell you that in our discussion with the fund, you know, I think that the way she framed it to me was that there's a cost-benefit discussion that was had with the commissioner. And as you know, or as you can imagine, to continue to pursue subrogation from their vantage point, they believe that the cost-benefit wasn't there. Now, whether that is, I can't speculate as to why they came to that conclusion, but I think to Dennis's point, there's just not a whole lot there for them to investigate. And that's, again, I don't know whether that's the reason, but this was something that was relatively new news to us. And, you know, when she framed it, it was in the context of kind of a cost-benefit analysis from their vantage point. Dennis, I don't know if there's anything else.
So then when you talk to our inspector, does our guy say, I've seen nothing, and I don't think they're going to see anything, they're going to find anything, or does he say, I'm still waiting until we get to the bottom of the pile before I, you know, that's where I think the evidence is going to be? Or I don't know. What's he saying? What are we hearing?
The first part of what you said is very indicative of his, and what we are telling you is very indicative of his preliminary opinion, that because of the extent of the damage, that in order to find exactly what the failure aspects were, that you may never find that. And our investigator has been through a lot of these, and you know, this circumstance, this catastrophe, you know, being across the panels as they were, it caused a lot of significant damage that prevents you from coming up with a very specific answer. That's very true.
And then what is our obligation to the reinsurer to essentially delay our reconstruction while we're continuing to let them investigate?
Well, that
definitely. How long is that going to continue before we?
Chairman, supervisors, we plan for those measures just as a matter of planning safety, and the installation and the new equipment. Though the space is shared, the tunnel is shared, it's independent. If cause and origin takes forever, we're still going to have the project done as soon as possible, and it's going to be unrelated to the cause and origin. They had to do some minor redirecting of some of the power and the lines, but that was minor. The equipment is where it is, and it's going to be essentially independent. The cause and origin will not stop unless there's some day where things are going out and we want to bring things in. That'd be the only time that happens.
I'm sorry. Then what was the reference to the December 7th kickoff or something? I thought they were saying something was being delayed because of...
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, yes, I think at our last meeting we might have mentioned to you that we are going to have an event on December 7th where all of the interested parties and the cause and origin investigators from the fund and the reinsurer were going to be getting together on that date. Since the fund has stepped away from the subrogation investigation and that Lexington, the reinsurer, has stepped in, since they're driving that now, they are having to reschedule that date. So that's what the reference of the December 7th is. That was the original date, and that's been delayed, driven by Lexington's decision. Okay, again, importantly, it's not going to, as Gary said, as far as we understand at this point, there's not going to have any impact as it relates to getting back to permanent power.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bukowski, Washon, New Jersey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, we're grateful to be able to have the parking that we have, okay? However, and I know that the last time you all were in front of us, you talked about the first quarter of next year to be able to use the entranceway off of 10th Street for people like ourselves, the judiciary, other people that are in that parking lot. And I guess, have we gotten any closer as to a definitive time? The reason I say it is because, you know, before we were able to kind of get away with the weather, I guess I'll speak for myself. I didn't realize how nice and convenient that entrance was, you know, being able to run out of my office and get out and get my car versus going all the way around. You know, you have to now plan for that extra time and stuff. But I guess I'm curious to know if you have any specific time, and if not, how are you relaying that to, for instance, the chief judge and the others that use that lot?
Mr. Chair and supervisors, yes, the annex lot is available to elected officials, so judges, supervisors, and others, clerks. So it is an inconvenience for sure. Our time frame has not changed relative to the timing. We would like to continue to frame it by sometime by the end of the first quarter. I wish we could do better. We are doing more than wishing than to do better. We are working hard to do better than that. The employees that parked at the North Annex, they are particularly inconvenienced because they are now parking in the brewery parking garage, which is about a 2.5 block walk, which, frankly, is not the most pleasant walk. And we have done our best to try to make it a little bit more pleasant by putting crossing guards on Highland Avenue, and then Gary's maintenance crew is salting and shoveling that area all the way up to the brewery parking. So we want to do better. We wish that we could do better, especially in the winter. But it is what it is, so we're trying to make the best of it. Thank you.
Chairman, supervisors, I speak to the chief judge on a regular basis. I spoke to him yesterday, and he's putting it – he's as equally demanding on getting that rectified as soon as possible, and I think I speak for everybody. We're not going to delay for any other reason other than practical reasons. The duck pack work that they started this week, We Energies, has turned into – additional work. They're trying to get those repairs in. So if whatever physically requires us to do, we're stuck with it.
Mr. Chairman, well, I'm grateful to hear that, Mr. Wozniak, that you're in communication with Chief Judge Kremers, and I am hopeful, and I'm assuming that he's doing this, is that he is communicating to his colleagues along with other people that use that lot. I think that many of us walk in with judges or whatever, and the topic seems to be, you know, what's going on or what the timing is or whatever. So it wouldn't hurt for us to keep the communication lines open so that people have an idea, have an understanding. Thank you.
Senator Washon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Switching gears a little bit, who's in charge of overseeing the finance part of this, keeping track of what things cost and who gets paid, what and where and when?
The financial aspect is part of the insurance claims management portion of the claim, and our insurer, the Local Government Property Insurance Fund, has the Crawford Company. They are the ones that are in charge of the loss adjusting, and then they utilize one or two audit agencies that work very specifically to track all of the expenditures and verify all of the costs and adjust the loss. It's part of the loss adjusting process.
Who is responsible for selecting a contractor that is working on the project?
The contractors that work on the project are part of the funds list of authorized and preferred providers, and so they have the insurance in place, they have the safety things in place, they have the capabilities to do what it is that they are doing here. So it's all a part of the vetting process that comes with the local government property insurance fund.
So there's nothing to do with Milwaukee County. We don't select what power electric contractor comes in and or what company builds the switch equipment or any of that. It's all handled by the insurance company?
The insurance company, in regards to the switch gear and in regards to the substations, they hired on InSpec engineering locally here. That they have a relationship with, and InSpec has a very good relationship with our A&E department, and the process for all of that was actually we brought our A&E people in, and so the product itself, the pricing, the design, the specifications, as a team, that was developed so that we in Milwaukee County got what we needed, but it was done so that it was cost-effective as well. I think that's kind of the long and short of it. There was a process that was performed at that level to ultimately get to the point where we could procure and obtain the
equipment. Well, that's what I'm looking at. I would just like to know more about the process. We're talking about spending, you know, $10 million plus to fix this. I would just like to know how we're selecting our contractors, who gets to say yes or no. If maybe Milwaukee County wanted to go with one contractor, but the insurance company said, no, we'd like to use a different one. Who is the actual final decision maker that says we're going with company X to provide this service?
We have a team that all of those things come to, and Gary and I are part of that. It's our 10 o'clock team that we meet almost every single day. And the important things that come to light that we need to do, it all ends up coming back to that team, and we weigh out, you know, what the decision process is.
Chairman, supervisors, what would normally happen is if we needed a temporary X-ray machine, such as we've had to have before, we turn to the restoration company and tell them we need it. They take care of getting it. We're not making the decision to go to company X or Y. We may make recommendation that our elevators are serviced by a certain company on a regular basis so they can choose to look if it's possible to do work with them, but the insurance or the restoration company is getting those contractors.
Okay. Right. If we could just get some more clarity on that, it would be helpful. I don't know if you could prepare in our next update to define that a little bit more. It just seems I just would like to know who's actually making some of the decisions on this. And so if you could just have a simple report for your next update when they come before us.
Do you understand what he's looking for, gentlemen?
I think I do. I mean, the insurance the restoration company is procuring those contractors. We can put it in the report, but that's the answer. We're not calling our own contractors.
Well, I guess then I'm looking for what is the role of the restoration company and what are the parameters that they operate under and how we interact with that. Because it seems like there's a lot of overlap. How much of our security responsibilities are being directed by the restoration, you know, and how much is being picked up on their tab? If you just take, I understand, okay, they may say, okay, we need to provide security for this secure area where all the contractors are, but they definitely the insurance company doesn't have to pay for a crossing guard on Highland. You know, I would question that.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, actually they are paying for those crossing guards. It is because of the loss that we have to use the parking structure up the street that we have to have those security guards for. So, yes, they are.
Well, that's the question. I'm just looking at what are the parameters and how much are we deferring to them to make these decisions? And, like I said, how are they operating is what I'm looking at.
We'll put it in the report, but Chairman, Supervisors, to answer your question now, if it's related to the fire, we kick it to them. If it's unrelated to the fire, we handle it like we normally would within the county. And it's the best way I can put it. If it's fire-related, we give it to them.
Okay. So have the report. Also talk about your committee that you sit on. What's your role in this whole ideals, too? Supervisor Jersey, then Supervisor Taylor.
First of all, I want to thank you for the PowerPoint. That was very helpful. I think it went above and beyond, you know, just a report. It really laid it out, and I appreciate that work. I would look forward to the report as well. I do think, however, that, you know, this recovery should be done as soon as possible and, of course, with all due speed. And I think that's been one of the main considerations here. I mean, there's been a major upheaval within the whole courthouse and county government. And I would be very concerned about any procedures that would continue to delay that process. So that's just my comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding 10th Street, you know, with first thing Mr. Tyler said, no big changes. I thought looking out my window Monday morning, seeing a big crane the entire day, I thought that was a big change. So that kind of seemed like that was no big deal. To me, it seemed like a big deal. Not because of the lack of view, but just the fact that things were actually happening. You actually, for the first time, I thought we're actually doing something. It looks like I can actually see what we're doing.
You can see it physically.
Physically what we're doing, even though I know we're doing things like laying concrete and that. When everything is in that hole and we can close it up, then can we allow the rest of our employees to get back in this parking lot and or gain access to 10th Street? Do we have to wait until, you know, the switch is flipped to be able to do that?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, we still have our what we call power plant on the street. So there are things that we are looking to do that we are doing every single day. Just so you know, this is part of my life now for quite a while, and I can tell you that the guy that first and foremost wants that street back open up is me, and so I carry that burden, and I feel your interests every single day, and every single day I push people hard to do things above and beyond so that we shorten this time frame as much as we can, and we hope to have better news for you on that coming up. And this month, December, is a very crucial month, and we continue to make strides and progress on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and we ask for your patience for a little while longer so that we can produce for you the desired results, so that we have a safe place to once again traverse and get back to our normal existence.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairman, Supervisors, the tipping point is at 13-2 power line on the street, and when we can get rid of that wholly and completely, we'll just have to go through a restoration process, get those transformers off the sidewalk, do some sidewalk repair, whatever needs to be done physically to get everything back. I'm jumping ahead, but I'm guessing that once we get to that point that we can open the parking lot in 10th Street and the 10th Street entrance, it's going to be one fell swoop. There may be an additional delay on the tunnel because of that access, but my thought is it's all going to happen at once. It's once we're done with that 13-2 and get the restoration done, we'll be prepared to open up the entire 10th Street and the annex. Again, we'll have to fix the north end and reconfigure things, and we'll try to do it as seamlessly as possible, but we're going to do it as soon as possible.
I'll take you up on that tour. I'd like to see what we're doing downstairs. The last point is I was disappointed on Thanksgiving to read an article online about the cost of we were over $10 million, and what I saw is a swipe at the board for what the cost of carpeting and drapes were. When some of us, like myself, if you go in my office, you'll notice my carpet's still the same. And I thought that was kind of ridiculous that we were replacing all these carpets, especially in the boardroom, which is used a dozen times a year. So what I'd like to see in this report, I want to know how much it costs breakdown for DAS's offices. I want to know how much it costs for the county executive's offices. I want to know how much it costs to register deeds, because it's all based on floor space and square footage, yet that's the only department that's listed in the newspaper. Is taking another shot at the county board like we were out requesting new carpeting and new drapes and things like that, which is not the case. We talked about, I remember Supervisor Weishan talking about the cubicles, how we're going to handle these cubicles. You know, I mean, so in that report, I want a department by department, floor by floor breakdown of the cost, because that is BS to read that little bit right there.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, maybe perhaps a conversation with the reporter would be beneficial. I did have a conversation with the reporter, and there was no mention at all in that discussion with the reporter as it relates to those expenses. So certainly through open records, he requested information regarding the invoices, and that was a line item. I believe he reached out to the appropriate people, but I had no conversations with the reporter regarding that.
Well, so like, you know, and I appreciate that it didn't come from your department and probably through, yeah, Conway, probably through you know, open request or something. But what I'm going to request, though, in the report, whatever we have, I want to break down. I don't even know what it costs. That's how I found out, and I'd like to know what every department would have cost. And I hope that the reporter actually does a better job and lists it and talks about, you know, it's based on square footage, how it is calculated, instead of just, you know, putting this trash out there.
Well, that was interesting. Does the reporter have anything to say? Okay, I'm an equal opportunity. All right, Supervisor Washa.
I think, Mr. Chair, at this time I'd like to make a motion to receive and place on file.
A motion to receive, place on file. Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Weishan?
Aye.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Jerzyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
No.
Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
5 ayes, 1 no. The motion to receive and place this item on file is approved.
Mr. Chair, just a question on that.
Sure.
Is it going to include the PowerPoint? I think our colleagues would.
Yes, we get the. Pardon me? We need the copy of the PowerPoint so we give it to my colleagues. Okay. Yeah, we get that included.
Yeah. Okay. With the report, so I think that would be useful.
Yes. Mr. Wazak, you pointing at me for something?
Chairman, Supervisors, are you asking for, say, printouts, just hard copies, or?
That'd be fine.
No. The pictures digitals. That you just gave us, if you could just give the PowerPoint, we can do it electronically with the record.
Sure. I just had them as JPEGs on a thumb drive. I can
email it.
That's all we want.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Coordinate with me. I'll get you. Sure.
Okay.
All right. No problem. Item number 7.